wonderful to be back Sunday morning. Let's begin our time together with a prayer. O Heavenly Father,
Divine
Mother,
Friend
Beloved God, Great Masters
of
Self-Realization, Jesus Christ, Babaji
Krishna,
Lahiri Mahashai,
Sri
Yukteswar, Paramahansa
Yogananda,
Blessed Mother,
Dear
David,
Beloved
Saint
Francis,
lovingly we invoke your presence, into this space,
into my heart,
and into my mind. O
beloved Lord,
I gather the flowers of my devotion
on
the altar of my love for thee.
My
listening mind waits in silence. While my soul softly opens in prayer. To receive thy love. Gradually I am enfolded. In thy arms of everlasting bliss. Suddenly I realize.
I
am not this body.
I am not this mind.
I am not this soul.
Thou hast absorbed
these in thy eternal flame.
I am forever
one with thee.
I am forever
one with thee.
Om.
Peace.
Amen.
Take this opportunity to read the next up in our quiet talks with the Master. As with every Sabbath morning, I just invite everyone to do your best to keep your calm intention with God, to relax into this space completely, to open the heart, and to quiet the mind so that God's presence can be clearly perceived and received. There's nowhere to be, there's nothing to figure out. We just get to be in this space together, opening our hearts to our same one Father and Mother. It's my prayer for each one of us that we can feel the relaxed bliss of this moment, of souls coming together, making an offering of themselves. No agenda, just love for God. This is called Outer Manifestation. You shall find as time moves on and you keep your sacred tryst with me, that whatsoever is good which you hold in your heart shall be brought into outer manifestation. From day to day, your thoughts shall create and bring forth after their kind. Be sure that they are my thoughts, that I may bless their coming into outer form. And now, blessings on you. You have truly learned the way of everlasting life. The way to true living will be found as you rest yourself by the roadside and talk with me, the giver of all life. Then shall you go out to the contacts with this busy world, refreshed and made whole, ready for any service to which I shall lead you. Sometimes you shall only have a moment to pause ere you go your way on this busy life. But even for a quick turn of the heart, look to me at any time, in any place, and I will heal and bless. For lo, I am always with you, and there is no spot where I am not known. And now, my child, you say you are an open channel for my healing forces. These are words of truth, but not only shall the channel be open to the healing Christ, but it must be a worthy channel. As the channel is freed for my entrance, freed from selfishness, narrowness, bigotry, lust, evil of all kind, it must also be filled with the opposites, love, unselfishness, and impersonal attitude, meekness, truth, honesty. All the fruits of the Spirit must blossom there. Then, and indeed only then, can the perfect inflow take place. Then and only then shall the perfect healing come. And you say, Lord, how can I become thus and have daily contacts and live in a world which does not conform to these standards? And I say, be of good courage. Each day shall you go a little further on the path of attainment. Each day shall you look from the mountain heights and see below the path you have trod. I only ask that you try, that you commune with me. I accept the earnest desire of your heart for my perfect life in you, and through that desire, you will be made whole. Comes into my mind of all of us sitting on top of the mountain now, separate from this world and the ways of this world, choosing to aspire towards something higher and to look to our own life as the very path to which to attain that. So though we be at 200 feet elevation in this little farmhouse, let us feel our souls rise up to the mountain and be free. Be free from all the things that keep us little. And be above this world and this little version of ourself that we carry with us into this world. Let us be the Master's disciples, sitting atop the mountain this morning, to be free and happy. To be simple. I'd like to ask Peony if she's inspired to lead us in some devotion. pick up this week again from Master's commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we read chapter 2, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. This is starting chapter 3. It's a longer chapter, so we'll just do a few pages. Obey the laws which govern true life. And it starts with Matthew 5, 19 and 20. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach these commandments, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is Master now. Whosoever does not live the life of truth in all its details, but who breaks one of the least truths commanded from within by the voice of conscience and intuition, shall not be regarded highly according to the standards of God-known men. The greatest in the kingdom of God are those who are enjoying cosmic consciousness. Such souls obey the greatest and the least laws which govern true life. Those who live according to the highest and the least laws of truth in their own lives, and who teach them both vocally and specially by the example of their lives, are considered high by those who are graced with cosmic consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is not a land ruled by an autocratic divine king. It is a state of cosmic consciousness in which all dualities are abolished, and the consciousness of the one loving king, Father God, reigns on the throne of all space. Though there is no essential difference between souls who have completely attained the state of cosmic consciousness, yet there are various grades of saints, even among those who have contacted God. The first contact of God may bring to a devotee great blessing and understanding, but that does not obliterate all of the effects of past actions. With continuous experience of God's contact, incarnations of stored up effects of actions are gradually roasted out. The time necessary for this roasting process determines the degree of greatness or the quality of saints. Those who have contacted God and who yet break the least mandatory truths and teach men a path of salvation are called the least when viewed from the highest spiritual standards. But those who practice all the compulsory spiritual laws relating to saintliness and teach people to do the same by their living example are called the greatest by those who live in the one supreme spirit domain of cosmic consciousness. Those who do not completely practice spiritual doctrines in their lives and yet try to teach people the path of salvation are not as good as those saints who teach people the path of God through spiritual living, in which all the minutest laws of truth are practiced in daily life. To think truth may increase the desire to follow its laws. To think truth but to neglect to follow its laws in life may develop a double hypocritical life. One must harness each good thought to the corresponding good activity. Otherwise, too much thinking about goodness without a corresponding good activity may make one develop wrong familiarity with thinking true laws, leading to sheer neglect of bringing them into life. Jesus emphasized the difference between the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees and true righteousness. The good Pharisees and scribes usually delve into theoretical religion and sacerdotal ceremony, without understanding the inner meanings, and thus indulge in superficial, skin-deep righteousness. This kind of righteousness may make one loyal to a theoretical philosophy or to a set of religious practices and beliefs, producing an extremely diluted spiritual panacea without creating much soul development. Jesus spoke of developing the consciousness of doing right and living truth, shorn of all superficial living. Real righteousness signifies complete identification with all truth or good. Identification with all truth, and not its parts, is only possible through meditation and samadhi, or ecstasy, in which the devotee, the act of meditation, and God as the object of contemplation, all become one. Millions of people do not even think about religion, and millions of religious individuals are satisfied with attending church 1 hour a week, or reading a few spiritual books, or practicing a few religious ceremonies. That is why they never attain cosmic consciousness or the kingdom of God, the domain of all space, which is pervaded by our humble royal spirit. This is the palpable reason why so few attain Christhood. Desire-mad human beings, like uncontrolled barges, are rushing down the flood stream of life, ready to fall from the rocks of experience down into the water of death and be drowned in oblivion. Only the wisdom-guided boats of lives stop the rushing of the flood of custom and convention and touch the shores of all redeeming contentment in God. This is one of the greatest truths that Jesus told all mankind. If you want the kingdom of God, your meditation and righteousness must exceed ordinary theoretical religious living of priests. Unless you follow the real way, you can never attain the final state of cosmic consciousness, of heavenly bliss, from which you can never fall again. Tremendous follow-up this reading is to our theme from last week, which was centered around the universal path of every soul and the karmic nature of that path. And for each one of us and for every single soul, this path is the same in that it always involves the mitigating and the correcting of our previous debt that we've accumulated over many lifetimes, of karma, and of the stopping of the future accumulation of debt by no longer behaving selfishly. That was our theme last week. And I was quite delighted to read Master restating that for us in this reading. I had never read that reading until last night. And he talked about it as a barge flowing down a river, uncontrollable through the desire nature and through the customs and the conventions of the world. And it's so easy to get swept up into that kind of consciousness, isn't it? And in fact, it's something we're all very familiar with, whether we've ever reflected on it or not, that much of our perspective about life and how to live our life has been shaped by the world that we are a part of. It's the reason Master said environment is so essential to our spiritual growth, because if we stay in the same environment of customs and conventions of the world as we see it today, We can scarcely imagine, much less realize, a greater reality of consciousness that is in truth available to us all the time, and yet we become so small in our limited version of life. That's why it's so important that in our meditation we meditate from the mountaintop and not from the valley bottom, inside of ourself, so that we can start by being free enough to meditate and experience something beyond the mundane reality of chasing life in this world. Master so clearly stated that it is our madness born of desires which keeps us so confused about the true nature and purpose of life, and is the reason so few people are able to make the spiritual progress to realize cosmic consciousness, to realize something greater than this littleness that we are faced with in this world. And so Master doesn't even hold back. I'm amazed. It could sometimes feels to me like, do I have an agenda against these churches? Here we are again, and I'm confronted with Master's words, not my own, about the nature of religion. And he says so many people are content with just going to a Sunday service for 1 hour a week, or having some ceremony they practice here and there, and that's as much as they can give to God. And other people just avoid religion altogether, and they don't even want to go in that direction of thinking towards God. And yet to his disciples, which is who Jesus was speaking to on the mountain, he was no longer speaking to the multitudes. He was no longer speaking to the masses, trying to convince them of something they perhaps weren't even ready to believe in themselves. He was speaking to the chosen few who could sit with him in that space and be open. And he said, you have to be better than those lower standards of excellence. You have to pursue something greater than success and a happiness born of worldliness. You have a much greater potential to wake up to. And the way that you do that isn't even by being a part of what they are. It's by living the real spiritual life. By living it in your life. He went so far as to say, it's one thing to think about truth. How often is this world right now caught up in the thought of asking what is true without ever getting to the stage of applying that truth? It's certainly the era that we live in, that we can all look around in this world and see many problems with how life is being lived, with how we prioritize our time and our energy. I've often reflected, if you want to know someone's true religion, spend a week with them and see how they spend their life. That's what we really believe in, is what we dedicate our time and our energy to. Often we think we believe in something else, in something higher, but really what we believe in is what we do. And that's what Master's saying. We need to be very careful not to separate the idea of our spiritual life from what we do every day. Because when these merge, and when we realize they are one and the same, we start to live our life with a kind of authenticity and a transparency. We're not trying to make a show of ourselves anymore. We're not trying to present ourselves in a certain way. We are becoming, little by little, real, authentic, and our natural selves, our natural people again. This is a wonderful thing, but it's not something the ego is very interested in. It's something we have to aspire towards from a place in ourself that can hold on to and aspire towards something much bigger than this little self. A self-identity in which we see our little self get kind of smashed and kind of destroyed along the way. This is what makes Jesus' life so important for us to understand, not as someone who lived 2,000 years ago and was hung on a cross to save us from our sins, but rather as a kind of template for what it is to go from just an ego mind to something and something, someone who is merged in the wholeness of God, and what that looks like, and the kind of shape that can take in our life. It's not an easy path, but Jesus was very clear when he told his disciples, if you want to be like me, there's one thing you have to do, and you can't avoid it. You have to pick up your cross, and you have to follow in my footsteps and do as I have done. Now, this is something we try to avoid tooth and nail sometimes. We like the lives of the saints. We like to look to them sometimes as good stories, and we can even laugh about their journeys along the way and the struggles that they had. But boy, when it becomes our turn, does it take a different turn? Do we think that everything is wrong with everyone and everything is wrong with myself? When it comes my turn to pick up that cross and to be about that life, the only thing that can navigate us through this is our sincerity with God. No church, no job, no little self-identity will do. We are called to merge into something greater. And this is something that the ego really struggles with, because the ego says, nope, I think I'll figure this out. I think I'm going to rationalize this. I think I'll make this happen. I'll do everything I can and make this happen. But little by little, if we're sincere and if we keep asking, then God will give us the things that we need so that we go beyond this little version of ourselves. But the key in all of this is that we be really serious with God in our intention. And so that we ask for that. We say, you know what? It's not enough that I keep living in this little selfish way anymore. My soul is waking up. My soul needs to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but that truth. I need to know you, God, and that's all that really matters, because I know that if I have you, you'll show me what to do in every situation. You'll plan my whole life for me. You'll give me every purpose. You'll give me every job. You'll give me every friendship I need. You'll give me every step, because I have you. But so often we work in reverse, and we think, if I do this thing right, then I'll have God. If I take these steps and I work this amount of time, then I can retire and be happy. We put it all in the reverse order of trying to do all the right things on the outside first, instead of making that God contact first. In truth, it's always there. It's always a choice we can make to just turn to God and to learn how to be content in ourselves. This is in many ways the whole of the path. And then it becomes a matter of applying whatever it is God reveals unto you. And this is where it really gets tricky. I was talking to a friend on Friday at the market, and he has a lot of health things going on right now. And he doesn't talk about it much, but he's a God person. And this has been revealed for each other, that we both have our own method of prayer and of making contact and trying to follow that thread with God. And so he was pretty upset about his situation and his health. And I said, well, have you asked God maybe what's going on? And he said, well, the doctors can't understand anything. My kidney functions at 11%. I should be on dialysis. I should be in the emergency room. They keep telling me I should check into the hospital. But then my doctor says, but you're actually fine and you have no side effects. Nobody can understand what's going on. So the doctor keeps saying, let's keep seeing if you can be okay with such a minimal kidney function. I don't understand. I've never seen this before. I said, you better ask the source what's going on if you really want to know. And he said, you would tell me to pray. You would tell me I should ask God about it. And then I said, well, the question, I guess, isn't if you are going to ask God about it. It's, do you want God's answer? And he's sharp, and he knew that was true. And he said, well, that is it, isn't it? He's like, why do I even want to know God's answer? I don't even know if I'll like it. And I said, yeah, I guess that's the path for you, isn't it? Are we really open to God's answer? This is something we all have to explore. We come up with all of our own ideas about the way life should be going and what the purpose of things are and what I'm here to fulfill and what I'm here to do. This is fine, and at different parts of our path, it's important to have these threads to follow through. But I tell you this, at a certain point, we realize that nothing I make up for myself can replace God's directives. Nothing I try to figure out can replace knowing God's will for my life. And that's, I said something abbreviated to my friend, and he knew that it was true. And he said, well, does it even matter if I know what God's reason is for all of this? If I already am surrendered to him, to whatever it is his will anyways. And I said, no, it doesn't matter at all, does it? And this is where we totally get out of the way, because we realize we don't even have to figure it out. We don't even have to understand if we live our life with that kind of trust. If we have realized God as the true source of our own life, to the extent that we have actual faith, we know that exactly where I've arrived at today has come from my relationship with God to the ability I was able to have it up until this point. And what I am called to do is to go deeper, to be more sincere, to keep my practices going, and to keep learning how to pray and to listen so that I can get better at this, so that I can listen better and take my cues better from him, and not be the doer in everything, not be the figuring outer in everything, but rather just to let God be in charge. Now, I'm not here to say that that's always an easy thing to do, because when we embark on this level of the path, it tests us in every aspect of ourself. Everything that we think of as ourself starts to get pulled out. And so again, I say the key in all of this is our sincerity with God. As long as we are sincere, he will take us through this process, and he will give us all the opportunities in our life. Everything that comes up, we will suddenly be able to relate to it in a brand new way. This is God's way of calling me and helping me to expand myself, this consciousness, into something bigger. And if it pushes us, if it prods us, if it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, we say, okay, this is the real work. And we turn it and we face it head on and we say, what is it that has made me uncomfortable? What is it that's made me upset? God, what are you trying to teach me, and how are you trying to help me grow right now? It gives everything its spiritual purpose. And it can be even some of the worst things. It can be our own crucifixion of people completely turning against us who we thought were our friends, abandoning us, blaspheming us. And we say, God, I'm not perfect, I know that. But I know that my heart is totally with you. So for some reason, you're doing this, and I trust you, and I give myself over to you. And in this, we find the understanding does come. We find that everything we need to know is revealed unto us, not because we make it so, but because we have accepted everything according to his will. It is a true miracle because it reverses the whole flow of life. We are no longer getting swept up into this torrential current that's pushing us downstream, getting ready to heave us off of a huge waterfall. Rather, we have pulled onto the banks for a little while, and we can watch the river flowing by. We can see the rocks. We can see the risks that are coming up. And we can tune in to what is true. We can tune in to what our next steps are and what is actually right for us. One of the greatest spiritual teachings that I have ever had shared with me was from Yogacharya David, and it's the basic idea of the path for the sincere seeker. And he said, when you are really sincere with God about learning how to do His will, about realizing Him in your life, you can know with certainty that in this incarnation, everything that you need to do to realize that will be given to you. In this very incarnation, what's needed from us is that sincerity. But you can guarantee that God will give you every single step that you need to take. And I had never heard anyone state it so simply and with so much freedom that we don't have to wait another 1,000 lifetimes to have this kind of relationship with God. We don't need to sign up for classes. We don't need to get certificates to prove that we've learned something. We need to wake up to the truth that God is inside of my own life. And as soon as I'm ready to treat my life with that kind of reverence, with that kind of respect, and with that kind of happiness in that relationship, He will give me everything I need to become totally free in this life. What an incredible thought that is. That thought alone could put us on a raft toward the eternal shores of bliss if we would just internalize it, if we would believe it with every part of ourself and realize its truth. There's really not much else to figure out. The joy of this life is that as we embark on that, our practice, our purpose becomes applying that in this world, not by trying to have an ever-increasing congregation of mega churches and trying to convert everyone else to something, but of just recognizing that in this, my own life, in everything that comes to me this day, this week, this year, I'm going to look for you, God, and I'm going to look for your purpose, and I'm going to be willing to step in with a new kind of trust into whatever you give me, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the excitement is. I'm going to just simply always come back to you in that and allow you to reveal yourself in it. This is where it's really fun, and this is where it becomes an incredible adventure, because nothing is mundane anymore. The random people that show up at the market and the crazy things that happen in our lives, they all take on a new kind of dimension, because we realize these are all just the different masks of Ram, and He is showing up, and sometimes He shows up in the most unbelievable characters. You couldn't even put them in a movie or in a book if you wanted to, because they're too ridiculous. But here is Ram come again, and He's got a special purpose for me, and He's here to show me something new. You know, if we can even fathom the tip of an iceberg, that God is infinite, and so our potential of expansion, the potential for our experience of life to grow, it is infinite. We can't put it in any box. We have to just be open to what that means for ourselves and to the opportunities that it will bring. And so for each of us, this is the holy thread that brings us into this space together. This is that which unites all of our lives as one. There's really no religion. There's really no separation. It's just that we each are where we're at on the path. And our purpose here at this ashram is to be a living example. It's not to even try to convert someone to something other than their own highest self. What joy, what fellowship, what freedom it is to be able to offer that kind of friendship. And to see who shows up. What a joy. Tomorrow, Cienda shows up. What a joy. But with Cienda will come someone else. What a joy. You see, in all of this, our opportunity is to realize that in all of it, it's joy. It's God's joy. I'd like to read this posting from Yogacharya David. It's from August 13th. Today is the 16th. This is when Carla and David were traveling. It's called TWISP, Forest Fires, W, which is an initial of a person. We can call him William. And Come to Me. While in Banff, at Lake Louise and heading west and south, we have been party to an abundance of smoky skies. Depending on the winds, sometimes thick with smoke, sometimes clear blue skies. It is said that this is the worst year for forest fires in over half a century. Going down a canyon road, we drive by a hill with multiple fires on the hill next to us. Helicopters are flying overhead with large, dangling buckets of water, doing their appointed tasks to dampen the spreading flame. Additionally, we see brave, hardworking forest firefighters with smoke-blackened faces taking a break next to the road. Up at Williams Lake, Dee is performing seva, even while their own home may be threatened, by issuing vouchers to those who escaped from fast-running fires. Wow, it really was Williams Lake. Leaving their threatened homes, some with nothing but the clothes on their backs. For the forest's sake, it can be beneficial for the lightning-induced fires to burn what they will, renewing the forest in its wake. Surprisingly, few animals have been killed in a forest fire as they flee or find shelter. But it is a hard thing for those who have homes and property in the forest to lose all according to the whims of Agni, God of Fire, that consumes one tree and leaves another next to it untouched. Our hearts and prayers go out to those affected by the fires and for the safety of the firefighters. As we motor further south, the smoke-filtered skies go with us, stretching across British Columbia, Washington, and Oregon, from Osoyoos through the Okanagan and finally to TWISP. To one degree or another, the gray residue of the burning forest continues. Just 20 miles away from Winthrop, there is a fire growing in a wilderness area, and we see the residue flowing in, then thinning to blue skies, only to darken once again, depending on the wind's direction. Such is this creation, that preservation and destruction are intricate parts of the whole. When a little girl asked Meher Baba, "Why are there wars?" he asked her in return, "Why do you make stinky?" Wars are not necessary to life. But when humankind lives out of harmony with natural and spiritual law, then wars are a predictable outcome. In a golden age when natural and spiritual law are observed and lived, many things out of balance will be brought into harmony. When a creation becomes attuned to higher thought and vibrational living, then a material world may simply transmute into pure spiritual being. Such things are possible and do happen. However, we are far from such harmony today. Though we cannot discount that, like a rising flood, God's power can sweep over this earth and make it new. How my heart yearns for such upliftment for one and all. The constant rolling of wheels underneath us for the past weeks is currently silent. The river flows by and the earth hums quietly, bringing peace to earth's flowing currents. It is time to restore before making the last part of the journey. God has me in his all-powerful, blissful grip and is whispering to me, tell one and all to enter into their silent cave of meditation and feel my uplifting power. I yearn to give my devotees all they need to fulfill their heart's desire, for it is my power to do so. Tell all, come to me. Well, here we are in 2026, and this is, I read, the third, so far, the third worst fire year in the state of Washington, with the potential to become the worst, given that we're still in the middle of August. Time will tell. But so much feeling of coming into the same moment with David and his reflections, and how much the solution is ever one and the same. And as the fires of this life, as they touch us, and as we feel their heat, that is our calling to come back within and to find our source within. This is something we just have to hold on to and remember amidst every circumstance. And sometimes the heat isn't enough. We like how the heat feels and we get a little closer, and sometimes we just have to get burned a little bit. But always our opportunity is to turn within and to center our self and to explore those inner realms of knowing God from inside of ourself. I've pointed out many times the interesting nature of Master's comment that brotherhood colonies would spread like wildfire. And one thing that's been so clear to me is that to really live in this way, and I mean in the ways that the aphorisms Master gave us for a brotherhood colony, to live simply and to be independent of the world, to develop self-reliance together, to grow our own food, and especially in the number one, to learn how to be happy all the time. That to really do this, it really necessitates the spiritual path and the constant, the one constant of every soul's spiritual growth. Because any part of us that wishes to stay small and to stay selfish can't step into such a broad and universal vision of life. And this has been revealed to me many times. It's not out of judgment. It's simply out of observation and experience. And so his vision for this world going into a different era, a different kind of time and place, a golden age, as David put it, it requires our spiritual growth go hand in hand with how we live our life. And so for all of us, this is our constant point of remembrance for all the outwardness that our life entails. We are yet and always called to live from our center and to find God inside of our life every morning and every night, to take our quiet time and to step off the wheel of activity. This is the dynamic balance of living life in this world. And it's something we grow into, and it's something we get better at. something that we're all here to help each other to do. So there's no need for us to feel bad if we've gone on one side of the pendulum a little too strongly. It's just that these are our opportunities to keep growing and to keep getting better at this. So there's been some kind of poetic aspect to the fire season for myself too, in that in some ways it feels like, yeah, the fires are a reflection of where we're at as people. And I can't help in myself but to feel like, well, I'm grateful that where we're at as people can be reflected back to us directly. What an opportunity that is for us to be open and willing to choose different directions and to go deeper in our inner truth of life and our inner purpose. Life is so short as it is and so fleeting. Why not do our best to face it head on and to live in the highest way that we can dream and that Master can put in our hearts? So in some strange way, the fires represent that. This opportunity to wake up, and no doubt as the fires grow and the summers get hotter over our lifetimes, we will see people make better choices. We will see communities start to grow around how to live more harmoniously with God's creation and nature, how to keep the water and not just burn it all up, how to maybe farm differently, how to do life differently. But all this is revealed unto us as we take our steps. So for each of us, our step today is just to lean into that path with God that He has specially ordained for us. If the smoke comes back in, that's just our little reminder. The clear skies are in our own forehead. I'd like to ask Bhima, as he's inspired, to play one of his songs for us. say all the words that have been read and expressed today could all be very concisely summarized as Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. How often the process of meditation, practicing our techniques and trying to get back into that space with God, how we finally just arrive back in ourself at Sri Ram, Jai Ram, victory to God, victory to the light. And when we feel that in our heart, when it's the actual feeling that takes us up and takes us over, this is the kind of consciousness that we're growing into all the time. Not of this little self, but of Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light in my life and in this world. Let us take this opportunity to pray for all those in our lives, and especially for anyone who God has placed in your heart this morning. Holding these souls up in the light of their own being. Especially feel this for Mother Elaine, this part of her journey, and for Sienda, who's preparing to take her journey here, and for all soul friends everywhere. Let's pray together. Divine Mother,
Thou
art omnipresent.
Thou art omnipresent.
Thou art in all your children.
Thou art in all your children.
Thou art in all these souls.
Thou art in all these souls.
Manifest your loving presence.
Manifest your loving presence.
In these bodies.
In these bodies.
In these minds.
In these minds.
And in these souls.
And in these souls.